Do you advocate getting rid of the minimum wage? Would that create more jobs?
Absolutely. And it would help the poor, the people who need a job. The minimum wage is a mandate. We're against mandates, so why should we have it? No, it would be very beneficial.
Everything's raising but the wages. Everything's raising but the wages. Gasoline, groceries, and our hazes.
Oh, there's a throwback. Good old Ron Paul. No, we don't want minimum wages. Everyone should work for a buck an hour. We could employ everyone. Everyone could have a job for a buck an hour. Wouldn't that be great? We'd have full employment, absolute full employment. Now, what's interesting is you look at the news that's come out this week that wages are going up. Evidently, like 3.5%, they're saying. 3.5%, huge wage increase. And I asked my working class friends, did you get it? Have you seen an increase in your wage? Reality, no. And again, what we're seeing is more of the splitting apart, the inequality gap widening, and really, well, the rich getting richer and everyone else not so much. That's why I've asked Heather Bogdich to come talk with us. She is vice president of the Poverty to Prosperity program there at the Center for American Progress. Heather, Melissa, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry, I called you Heather, didn't I?
It's okay.
Melissa, I am sorry. I look at this and we're seeing this, this wages are going up, but for who?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, this is actually fairly good news in the wage front because it's not just the wages at the top going up. The median wage, so right at the middle of the spectrum, rose by 8.5% or more than $4,600. In the last 2 years, and that's more than any other two-year period on record going all the way back to the 1960s. And the poverty rate, had a statistically significant decline as well for the second year in a row. And the share of people who are uninsured also fell. This is really the first year since the late 80s that all three of those indicators are heading in the right direction. It's the final year of data for the Obama administration. And I think it's a solid set of numbers. The issue is what's going to happen already this year and moving forward that's going to take us even further backwards, and we still have so much work to do even building off this year's good progress report.
No, I agree. There's some movement forward. But, I talk to people every day who haven't seen a raise in a decade.
For sure. No, absolutely. Just because at the national level the numbers are moving in the right direction doesn't mean that there are working people every day who are struggling to put food on the table. I mean, 3 in 10 people looking at these numbers are living paycheck to paycheck in America, 3 in 10. So, I mean, there's huge racial and ethnic disparities. There's a big gender pay gap. There's lots of bad news as well. But nationally, the numbers are generally heading in the right direction. And I think it's important to note when that's happening because there's policy reasons that it's happening.
Okay. Well, walk me through some of the policy reasons that you think have done this. Because, look, we don't want to go backwards. I don't want to see the Trump administration undo the progress that we've had. Because, look, there has been progress since the Great Recession during the Bush years. And I don't want to stop that. So what do you think are the policy positions that have created this, and what do you think the Trump administration's going to do? Are they going to let them stay, or are we undoing some of it?
Well, let's start with health care, because it's at historic lows right now, the share of people who are uninsured. That's big news. And in the past, before the Affordable Care Act, sometimes there were years when the economy was actually doing better, but the rate of people who were uninsured was still climbing. And so ever since the Affordable Care Act was put into place, we're now at a record low of only 8.8% of people uninsured. That's still too many. But when you think about the efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, when you think about Trump's trying to destabilize the insurance markets and raise premiums on everybody, when you think about all these states who are asking for waivers to really destroy Medicaid in their own states, these are steps that really threaten to undo that progress. And it's important that we stand up and realize the gains that we've made, as much work as we need to do to build on them. Another thing I will note is that one of the things the census does that's really helpful is that in addition to releasing the regular poverty rate, they released a supplemental poverty rate. And this is the one that shows you the degree to which various policies actually help lift people out of poverty or push them into it. And so, for example, we saw that Social Security lifted over 26 million people out of poverty last year. Tax credits for working families lifted over 8 million people, including half of them kids, out of poverty last year. SNAP, the Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps, lifted over 3 million people out of poverty last year. These are all the things that Trump has proposed cutting in his budget. They're all at risk if we pass tax cuts for millionaires and corporations like they all want to do. And then all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, there's a deficit crisis. There's no money for Social Security. So, I mean, I think that it's really important as we head into this fall's big fight that we remember what is working. And then also what we need to do in terms of investing in jobs and raising wages to make sure we continue making progress rather than going backward.
So rhetorical question, you know, do you think they're really that cynical to create a crisis solely for the purpose of destroying our social safety net?
I mean, let's even if it's not intentional, let's review the history. You know, Bush tax cuts passed 2001, 2003. Nobody cared about the deficits they were causing. It was, you know, tax cuts. But all of a sudden in 2005, 2006, there was a crisis with Social Security. We had to privatize Social Security. And then we didn't. We defeated that one. But heading back into, 2010, all of a sudden there's this fiscal hysteria. We have to put caps on all of our major, investments. That's where we're living under these sequester caps that have been disinvesting for communities for several years now because there was all this fiscal hysteria about the deficit, which nobody cared about when we were passing trillions of dollars of tax cuts, mainly for upper-income households. You also can look at, for example, state governments, the state of Kansas. They passed tax cuts primarily directed at millionaires in their state with this whole trickle-down theory. And then over the course of the next several years, there was no revenue. So all of a sudden, the education budget is getting decimated, public health decimated, all these, you know, roads, et cetera, all the basic things that people turn to their state to provide, decimated. It was so bad in Kansas that moderate Republicans primaried the radical Republicans who put it into place and actually overrode a veto from Senator Brownback to restore that money and raise taxes. That's a cautionary tale of what could happen at the national level if we don't get our act together.
So basically, as I've been saying for a long time, we've seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well.
It does not end well. And everybody who thinks that the tax fight is, I think it's unpopular enough to give tax cuts to millionaires and corporations by itself, not even thinking about all the consequences beyond that. Rich people don't need another tax cut. They had very large income gains this past year, and they captured the top fifth captured over half of the income. They don't need another tax cut, and I think people intuitively get that. But if they think, oh, well, it's not going to affect me, they may even say, hey, I might get a small tax cut. You got to think again, because if you look at the history, what's going to end up happening is big cuts to education, big cuts to healthcare, big cuts to the middle class. Because there'll be this deficit hysteria once there's no revenue to do anything.
Yeah, but Melissa, I got my Bush tax prize. I got my check in the mail back then. They gave me money. I got something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's probably the right response right there.
Yeah, I mean, you also got to look at where are the jobs. You know, there were these huge trickle down tax cuts, but the recovery between 2003 and 2007. It was fueled by a housing bubble. It wasn't because people were doing better with their wages or people were, getting all kinds of great jobs. It was because the recovery was fueled by a housing bubble that burst and gave us the Great Recession. So this myth that tax cuts for millionaires and corporations are going to magically make the rest of us better off has been disproved time and time again.
Do you think that, there was the big Chinese dinner powwow last night at the White House, where evidently we did or did not come to an agreement on where to go with DACA. But there was also talk of tax reform or deform or however you want to frame that. Do you think that there's any possibility that Democrats come along with Republicans on some of these bad ideas that we've seen in the past?
It's a risk. It's not sewn up. You know, people need to, not just be trying to, convince Republicans to break with their party. They need to be holding Democrats because it's very very easy in the short term to say, oh, this is an easy political win.
No, because I'm looking at this. And again, as we've been talking about, this is a movie we've seen since the 80s where we continue to cut taxes. And it's, my Tea Party friends love to talk about, you liberals want a redistribution of wealth. And I go, yeah, I'd like it redistributed the way it was, before Reagan.
Right.
I mean, that seems sane. I mean, we could pay for infrastructure. We could pay for things. And oh, by the way, we seem to have shared prosperity. you know, what's bothering me is, as you pointed out, you know, half of all the new income gains went to the top 1%. You look at Piketty's numbers, you go back to after the Great Recession, there was a period where the top 1% was taking 120% of all new income gains, and nothing was, literally nothing was trickling down.
Nothing, yeah. It's fairly straightforward. I mean, you look under the Clinton administration, there were those higher tax rates in place. Biggest period of job growth, economic growth, shared prosperity. You know, poverty went down, incomes went up. Bush comes in, he cuts taxes massively, and we're not seeing the result of that in terms of better jobs, higher wages. It didn't work.
So how do we defend against this latest? Because, look, I've been saying for a while, you know, people were really excited and really energized and engaged during the repeal and replace period. The tax thing isn't as visceral, isn't as sexy, if you will, as stealing health care from millions of people. But I think it's equally as dangerous. How do we generate that kind of fervor, that kind of interest and excitement and engagement?
So I think that there's a couple of things. We need to be very clear about what the red line is. And the red line, there's a campaign that Center for American Progress is participating in called Not One Penny. Not one penny in tax cuts for millionaires and corporations. That needs to be our red line.
Nice. Not one red cent. I like it.
Yeah. For the top 1%. There you go. We have a little rhyme. And it's very popular among Trump supporters, among Clinton supporters, among independents. People don't want wealthy and corporations to get yet another tax cut. Some of these corporations that would get a tax cut are shipping jobs overseas.
Right.
Like, where is this populist who campaigned to be the head of a workers' party? He's off, you know, giving tax breaks to benefit himself and his cabinet, you know, made of Goldman Sachs people, and going to give corporations who have shipped jobs overseas a tax break. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. So Not One Penny is sort of one of the leading campaigns, as well as Americans for Tax Fairness. And then at CAF, we are also recognized that the first stage of this fight, if they really want to pass a tax package, they have to first pass a budget resolution, because that's what's going to give them the fast-track authority to pass it without any Democratic vote. That's what they did with health care. And the budget resolution is where we are going to have to put up a fight to show what the trade-offs are and what the stakes are. So your health care, your nutrition, you know, somebody in your family or neighbors who have a disability, they're trying to slash their support, public education, Social Security, Medicare, all this stuff is at risk. And so the budget fight is where we see what their priorities actually are. And even though it's a not binding, it's just a blueprint. It's not like they're passing it into law.
Right.
That's where you see what the ultimate game plan is. That's where their vision is put out there. And so if they're passing a tax instruction and the House has required a minimum of $200 billion in cuts to mandatory programs, that's things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, et cetera, even if that doesn't get enacted through this budget, that they're laying out their game plan. And it's incumbent upon us to say, wait a minute, you want to pass this tax package. Let's look at your budget and see what your actual long-term goals are here.
Well, Bill sent me an email saying, you know, that Steve Mnuchin said that there will be no increases on the working class and no rich person would get a tax cut. What do you say to that? Because, you know, you had Mnuchin out there saying, you know, we're not giving tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires, pushing back against what you said.
So, I mean, there's a lot of examples of why that is just a flat out lie, which is not surprising given this administration, frankly. They have a strange relationship with the truth. But I'll just give you one example. Both President Trump and congressional Republicans have said that they want to repeal the estate tax. The estate tax falls on the 5,400 wealthiest estates. It's a $3 million tax cut for them. Just those 5,400 estates, on average, a $3 million tax cut.
Wow. How do I get one of those?
Thousands of seniors meals on wheels for that. You know, it's like that they say, oh, it's about family farms. There's no family farms or small businesses that are really the ones who are going to get hit by this. It's very, very, very wealthy estates.
And again, you know, they still haven't found the small family farmer or the welfare queen for that matter.
Right. We're all still looking for that person.
Still looking. But again, my hope is that people heed the warning. And you're right. I think that that budget fight is going to be where we look. And as this continues down the road, I'd love to have you come back and point these things out. Because, look, I think when you put it to, in the way you just did, we're going to give $3 million tax breaks to, you know, the 5,400 people in this country while literally taking food out of the mouths of seniors on the edge of poverty. I hope there's no one in this country that goes, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Well, just a plug really quick. If people and your listeners are interested in getting involved in that budget fight, we have a website, handsoff.org, you know, to tell people, hands off my Medicaid, hands off people with disabilities, hands off my neighbors, et cetera. And there are 8 toolkits there where you can find your state and congressional district level data on what's at stake for you. And be in touch with your members of Congress about what you think about it.
Well, good stuff. We'll make sure we get a link at therickSmithShow.com so people can take a look at it. Melissa, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Again, handsoff.org, the website. We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.